Hello and welcome again to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This is a outreach ministry of the Wash and Word, which is a hand car washing business. We are located in Church Hill on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center. And there, my wife and I, we own and operate this business. And this is the sole means that we use to support this ministry and to support our family. And so we ask that you would support us. And by doing so, we just simply say, come on by, let us earn our money by washing your car, and that right there in and of itself supports this verse by verse Bible teaching ministry. If you have any questions or need more information about this ministry or about the business, go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And don't forget to tune in to WMCH AM 1260 Monday through Friday at 8:30 in the morning to hear these verse-by-verse Bible teachings. So picking it up in verse 15, we read 1 through 8 in our last teaching, and Jesus is talking about the correlation between remaining in Him and bearing fruit. And Jesus said that apart from Him, we can do nothing. And that's how we ended our last message, talking about how when Jesus says we can do nothing, how could He actually say that when many men and women who didn't know Jesus did mighty and great things throughout the history of time? And we surmise that by saying that only a child of God can do anything that is considered something. And while all these great feats might be accomplished in the name of man, and they do benefit humankind, they are not glorifying God. And that is the whole reason we as Christians exist. That is what it says in verse 8, we left off, that this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciple. And so we talked about how the Spirit-filled believer has a different agenda, or at least should have, and that agenda begins and ends with glorifying God by their actions. But how we do that was important, and there are four ways through Scripture that we do this, that we glorify God through our lives. And the first one is we glorify God through the works of our hands. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we have told you. And so the works of our hands will glorify God, especially if we do them for the sake of God. And that's kind of how what we do here at this car wash. We work with our hands to glorify God. And in fact, the next one we're about to look at is basically our it's kind of our scripture verse that defines this entire business ministry here. But we work with our hands, and that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to work with our hands to show ourselves as His disciple, and by doing that, we bring glory to God. But not only do we work with our hands, but there is the actions of our flesh that will glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Now, some of you might have known this and some don't, but I left a really cushy job with benefits and making over $20 an hour, 401k, retirement benefit, the whole nine yards. I left that to go wash cars. And almost everyone in my family who knows me said I was crazy. And, you know, on the outside looking in, it may sound a little crazy to leave all that for something as risky as washing cars, but I'm not just washing cars. I am working, we are working here, my wife and I, for the glory of God. So it doesn't matter what you do. If you do it for the glory of God, that is the thing that will last. That is the thing that will bring God the glory. And so not only is it the work of your hands that brings God glory, but it's also the actions of your flesh, but also it is the motives of your heart. And this is where a lot of us fall short. The why as to what it is you're doing. Proverbs 22:11 said, he who loves a pure heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king for his friend. So in other words, God is always searching the motivation for the things that we do for Him. So it's one thing to work and to do for the glory of God, but friends, always go back to your heart and check and make sure you're doing them for the right reasons. So not only is it the works of our hands, the actions of our flesh, the motives of our heart, but finally, it is also the words of our mouth that that will glorify God. James 3:10 says, out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Ephesians 5:4 says, nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather there should be thanksgiving. And so we glorify God through the works of our hands, the actions of our flesh, the motives of our heart, and the words of our mouth. And you can only bear fruit if you remain in Christ. And you can only remain in Christ through continual obedience to his commands. Do you understand? The moment that you are in disobedience, the moment that you sin, you are not any longer at that moment remaining in Christ. You have separated your fellowship, and then there are no good works that you can do while you're in sin. But we also have the wonderful scripture of John 1:9 that says, if we confess our sins, we are faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So it is only in Christ that we can remain giving God glory. And we can only give God glory through continual obedience to his command. And so this ties in with some of the things we talked about in the last few messages. Taking some of the studies that we've been looking at so far, we see that to love Jesus is to obey him. And to obey him is to remain in him. And taking that further, to remain in him is to bear fruit. And what happens when we bear fruit? Well, to bear much fruit is to bring glory to God. And to bring glory to God is to love Jesus. And to love Jesus is to obey him. And it starts back over again. And to obey him is to remain in him. And to remain in him is to bear fruit. And to bear fruit is to bring glory to God. And to bring glory to God is to love Jesus. And to love Jesus is to obey him. And to obey him is to remain in him. And to remain in him is to bear much fruit. And to bear much fruit is to bring glory to God. And to bring glory to God is to love Jesus. And to love Jesus is to obey him. And to obey him. And on the cycle continues. That is why there is such a strong emphasis of the connection between remaining in him and bearing fruit in just the first 8 verses of chapter 15. But let me just say that we can be fruitless, unattached Christians, fellowship-wise, and still be saved. But I think what Jesus is saying here is not that if you do not remain in me, you will go to hell, that you'll be cut off and thrown into the fire, as he talks about the branches that do not produce fruit. Because again, Israel is often likened to a vine in Scripture. And the comparison here is not saved versus unsaved, but it's fruitful believer versus unfruitful believer. But both being a child of God, you don't lose your salvation. You just don't have the fruit. And what else is there of being a Christian if not to have fruit and bring glory to God? And verse 2 seems to imply, where it says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. This isn't talking about, again, that he would send us to hell if we don't remain in him. And verse 6 says, if anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and it's picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. So these are scary Christians or verses to the Christian who is not well versed in the scriptures. And if you're teetering on the edge of that great debate, can I lose my salvation? Reading those verses is not going to help you your debate much, is it? And this is a major doctrinal issue, this can I lose my salvation thing. And this is why we do verse-by-verse Bible teaching. It's a prime example, because it would be easy for me or any other preacher to just gloss over these things when they come to them or not teach on them at all. But as a verse-by-verse Bible teaching, you have no choice but to talk about the hard things. So I'll give you a brief explanation. To be cut off, as Jesus said, means to be removed. It's the same word that was used when Jesus said, remove the stone for Lazarus to be raised from the dead. Best translated, the word means shelved. And, you know, if there's something on the floor and you don't want to step on it or get hurt by it or kick it, what do? You pick it up and you put it on the shelf. That said, there are still wolves in sheep's clothing that are in the flock, and Jesus does prune those out. Judas was one of them. But if you look at verse 3, in the middle of those two verses that really bring into question your eternal salvation, verse 3 says, you are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. And so we are already clean by the blood of Jesus, period, end of story. And if salvation can be lost, then that means that there is a sin out there that you can do that is greater than the blood of Jesus. And if there is a sin that is greater than the blood of Jesus, I'd like to know what that is. And remember, verse 6 says he is like a branch that is burned. Not a physical action of being burned. He's saying it basically, it becomes ash. It's blown by the wind. It is basically useless. And so an unattached Christian to the vine is still a Christian, but their life is not bearing fruit. It is not bringing glory to God. Remember in John 6:66, it says many disciples went back and walked with him no more. And God, you know, there's one thing that's constantly required of God, and that is that we are in oneness with Christ. So why remain in him? Why bear fruit? Why put ourselves out there to be ridiculed or mocked or beaten or even killed? Why? Well, let's read on. Look at verses 9 through 11. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now, remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. And there it is, friends. Let's leave it right there for a second. Your joy may be complete. It gives you the reason as to why you should be obedient for complete joy. Not just joy, but joy complete. Let me ask you a question. What is your definition of complete joy? Is it winning the lottery? Is it a tropical vacation or a cruise or having a family reunion? Whatever it is, it cannot compare to the joy that Jesus wants to give you. And the greater our attachment to the vine, that is, the greater our prayer life, the greater our Bible study, the greater our fellowship, the greater our service to God, the greater our self-denial, and the greater our attachment to the vine, the more complete your joy will be. Let's putting it simply, it's this. The fullness of joy is achieved through the intimate relationship with the Father through Jesus. That's it. That is ultimate, intimate, and fullness joy. Relationship, an intimate relationship with the Father through Jesus. Mark 4:19 says, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things, these come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Are you not feeling that joy today? Well, we've all been there. Listen, your first step is to ask God, hey, how is it between us, Lord? And then ask, who am I living for today? Because I think a heartfelt search for the answer to that question might reveal some pretty unpleasant things about your personal life. You know, the word joy in and of itself is an acronym that served me well. J-O-Y. If you can remember J-O-Y standing for Jesus first, the O stands for others second, and the Y standing for yourself last. That is how we achieve the complete joy Jesus is speaking about. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Marvin Ashton said, pleasure usually takes the form of me and now. Joy is always us and always. Joy, pure joy, complete joy awaits for you at the foot of the throne. When was the last time you were there? Isn't it time to go back? Maybe it's time to enter for the first time. Well, I leave you with those words so that you can meditate on them. And in the meantime, come on by the washing word. Let us wash your car. You can tune to 107.1 FM in the parking lot and hear these messages on a loop. Finally, you can go to the washandword.com website and you can download and listen to these messages for free. Have a blessed day.